Would you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are the one who strengthens us, redeems us, and saves us. Amen. As Jan mentioned, and as you could tell from the scripture readings, I changed my sermon yesterday morning. And the new title of this, or the title of this sermon is, The Place of Women Is. Over the past week or so, the minds of probably the majority of people in this country have been transfixed on the events in Washington with Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Blasey Ford. Today I'm not discussing those events. What I want to talk about, and what I think is more important, is the view of women that has been laid bare during these events and in the larger Me Too movement. I understand that it's a little weird for me, a man, to be talking about a woman's experience and pain in our society. I confess my limitations in understanding what women go through. And I hope that women listening today will grant me grace in my imperfections as I address this topic. I understand that this sermon may be more for the men who don't live this experience every day. And I also hope that women here will understand that your voice is being heard by some. If you don't believe that there is a God, then I think it might give you pause to consider this. I follow the Revised Common Lectionary, as I would say most many mainlined and Roman Catholic pastors do. The lectionary, for those of you not quite sure what that means, is a series of four readings for every Sunday of the church year. A Hebrew scripture, a psalm, a New Testament reading, and the gospel. They don't cover the whole Bible, but they cover all the major stories and the major topics of the Bible. And in the entire three-year cycle, only one reading is from the book of Esther. And that reading is a part of a lectionary for this Sunday. It's one of those times when it seems that all the planets seem to be aligned and that you cannot ignore it. I want to begin by looking at the passage from the first chapter of Esther. Now, this passage is not in the lectionary, but I wanted to contrast it with chapter 7, which is in today's lectionary. King Ahasuerus has a celebration in which he basically showed and talked about how great a king he was. And on the seventh day of this celebration, he tells his eunuchs to bring out his wife who herself has been giving a celebration for the women of the palace of the king. Now let's listen again to the command of the king. He commanded the eunuchs, I'm not going to say their names again, to bring Queen Vashti before the king wearing the royal crown in order to show the people and the officials her beauty, for she was fair to behold. Notice, she was to be brought out wearing the royal crown. Now, in our proper understanding, we figure that she was to be brought out clothed and wearing the crown. But there are scholars today who believe that she was to be brought out only wearing the crown. Queen Vashti refused. And for this she was banished from the kingdom, because if she was not punished, according to the sage Memucan, other women might say no to demands from men. And down through the ages, many have said that Queen Vashti was wrong and the king was right for banishing her. And I think, hope all of us can see how harmful that kind of thinking is for women. Wayne Blank, in a piece that he wrote in the one-year Bible reading plan, wrote a piece entitled The King's Trophy Wife. And he shares the following definition from Wikipedia. And I think this is probably pretty close to the truth. And sometimes you have to take Wikipedia with a grain of salt. The definition of a trophy wife. Trophy wife is an informal term for a wife, usually young and attractive, who is regarded as a status symbol for her husband, who is often older, her husband, who is often older or unattractive, but usually wealthy. For the husband, it has a connotation of pure narcissism and the need to impress other men. That seems to describe King Ahasuerus. He was trying to impress other men. Vashti was an ancient trophy wife. Now, some would say that she was better off without the king, but in that time, it was not the case. To be a divorced woman with no family was practically a death sentence. Today, many men in this country and around the world believe that women exist to make them feel good about themselves and to look good to others. If not by looks, then by some other measurement, such as obedience or some skill they have, or just by virtue of being a conquest they achieved. Is it any wonder that we have the Me Too movement? Is it any wonder that women are tired of this and are speaking out? Our Christian gospel has Jesus radically responding to women. He even had women disciples in his following. No, they weren't part of the 12, but he had a larger following than the 12. And there were many women in that larger gathering, that larger following. And there are several stories that really lift up Jesus' radical understanding of women. Several weeks ago, we heard of a Syrophoenician woman who came and asked him to heal her daughter. And he said, is it right to throw the food for the children to the dogs? And she said, but even the dogs get to lick up the crumbs. And he was amazed at her faith, and he healed her daughter. He stood up for the woman about to be stoned for adultery. He brought the widow of Nain's son back to life so that he could take care of his mother. Jesus respected women, cared for them, healed them, loved them. Now, if we look at chapter 7, we think maybe King Ahasuerus has learned something. His wife Esther comes to him asking for her life and the life of her Jewish people that Haman was seeking to kill. The king listened and believed her and had Haman killed. He listened and respected the voice of Esther. Esther is the strong woman, but so is Vashti, because she refused to be demeaned by the king. Instead of a weak woman and a strong woman, we have two strong women. Most men don't know what it's like to go through sexual oppression. Women, just by the fact that they are women, something they have no control over, are oppressed. And they have been oppressed for centuries. Oppressed by how much they are paid, by the threat of losing their job if they have a baby, by what jobs they can hold, by husbands who believe that they should do anything they want them to do whenever they want it done. And if they don't, they're abused physically and emotionally. And they're oppressed by assaulters in family and outside of the family. Yesterday, a friend of mine shared the following in a Facebook post. Jackson Katz, a prominent social researcher who wrote The Macho Paradox, Why Some Men Hurt Women and How All Men Can Help, wrote about a thing he does when he does conferences. I draw a line down the middle of a chalkboard. sketching a male symbol in one side and a female symbol on the other side. And then I asked the men, what steps do you guys take on a daily basis to prevent yourselves from being sexually assaulted? At first, there's kind of an awkward silence as the men try to figure out if they've been asked a trick question. The silence gives way to a smattering of nervous laughter. Occasionally, a young guy will raise his hand and say, I stay out of prison. This is typically followed by another moment of laughter before someone finally raises his hand and soberly states, nothing, I don't think about it. And then I ask the women the same question. What steps do you take on a daily basis to prevent yourself from being sexually assaulted? Women throughout the audience immediately start raising their hand, and the men sit in stunned silence as the women recount safety precautions they take as a part of their daily routine. Hold my key as a potential weapon. Look in the back seat of the car before getting in. Carry a cell phone. Don't go jogging at night. Lock all the windows when I sleep, even on hot summer nights. Be careful not to drink too much. Don't put my drink down and come back to it. Make sure I see it being poured. Own a big dog. Carry mace or pepper spray. Have an unlisted phone number. Have a man's voice on my answering machine. Park in well-lit areas. Don't use parking garages. Don't get on elevators with only one man or a group of men. Vary my route home from work. Watch what I wear. Don't use highway rest areas. Use a home alarm system. Don't wear headphones when jogging. Avoid forest or wooded areas, even in the daytime. Don't take a first floor apartment. Go out in groups. Own a firearm. Meet men on their first date in public places. Make sure to have a car or cab fare. Don't make eye contact with men on the street. Make assertive eye contact with men on the street. Women live in fear of being assaulted. And we men have to speak up and join our voices to theirs. The days of patriarchy must end. We must create a society that is just for all people. Men, women, and those who are gender nonconforming. And when women speak up, we must listen to them and respect them. We cannot let it be, okay, it's okay for boys to be boys. What is the place of women? Women and men need to walk side by side, not one ahead or behind the other in our journey through life. We need to rethink our sense of community and allow people of all gender identities to have a seat at the table. That's the way it is and will be at the table of God. Why not start now? I don't know how the confirmation hearings will turn out. But if the committee had taken the step they took yesterday, back at the beginning when this came forward, then we probably would not have had to witness what we witnessed on Friday. It would have been better for both parties, and please don't say she should have mentioned it earlier or back when it happened. Look how it turned out for Vashti when she spoke up. And in our time, in our modern day, right now, there are tens and thousands of rape kits that are untested in police evidence rooms across our country. Why speak up if people won't listen, if they won't hear us? The responsibility doesn't lie with women to make things right, but with us men to join them and learn to respect all people and their experiences. When we characterize women as hysterical and are challenging the authority of men and the boys, then they're loath to put themselves out there and tell others, because they might get the same result as Vashti. We have to learn to respect all people and their experiences. Amen.